Now, a lot of people who worked at home are getting ready for in-person work again. That also means some of the stresses of pre-pandemic work could come back too. Is there a way to avoid that? Our next guest has lots of advice on ways to spot and prevent burnout, and she's got ideas for how to make the post-pandemic workplace a better, healthier environment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're getting ready to go back to work in person, are you worried about burnout? Have things been better or worse working from home all or part-time? If you've been at the workplace all along, did things get harder during the pandemic for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jacinta Jimenez is a psychologist, executive coach, and author. Her book is called The Burnout Fix, Overcome Overwhelm, Beat Busy, and Sustain Success in the New World of Work. Jacinta, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
For those people who have been working at home all the time or most of the time, maybe getting ready to come back, what is on your mind for them in the world of burnout?
Yeah, this is a really big transition for a lot of folks. You know, there's people in both camps who enjoyed working from home, others who are dying to go back to the office. But in either case, you know, throughout the pandemic, we really found our homes as a place of safety. And so to switch out of going from our house to the work environment can bring forth a lot of change. And so it's really important that we proactively think about how we're going to manage this transition and acknowledge the change that is happening, because we're coming back to a new world of work in a lot of ways. Things have changed since the pandemic.
How can we be proactive about that? What kind of things can we think about? Can we prepare to go back into work?
Yeah. First, I recommend begin mentally preparing yourself for the return to work by walking through scenarios you might encounter at work to help you feel more at ease. In psychology, we call this perception. And what we've learned through science is that imagery is very powerful in helping folks adaptively respond to potentially anxiety-filled situations. So when you engage in this practice, it helps you gear up emotionally. I also recommend just paying attention to your body, because the mind and body are so connected. You know, for example, focusing on your sleep schedule. You know, having to commute and get back to work at a specific time may be a shock to your body's schedule. And so it can be beneficial to work on establishing a routine, bedtime and wake time for returning to work. Plus, you know, the benefits of sleep are tremendous. It can buffer you emotionally and physically against stress that may come with this transition. But I think the most important thing I would recommend for folks is practicing self-compassion with yourself or others. It's okay to feel anxious about returning. It's a big transition. So be kind yourself during the process. You know, the research shows self-compassion can go a really long way in providing you with greater resilience, stronger motivation, and just increase mental well-being overall.
And of course, there's a big category of people who never started working from home. They do jobs at grocery store work or a restaurant work or a lot of other things where you have to do the job on the site. There's the added worry. Am I going to get sick? Am I going to get my family sick? A lot of reports of customers being more rude or hostile over mask mandates or whatever. What have you been watching for in the world of burnout for those people who never went home and worked from home?
Oh, yes. You know, those folks who have been on the front lines doing work really have tapped into what we call a surge capacity, which we are wired with. Humans, we are so resilient. And we don't want to use this all the time, but when faced with crisis, we get this second wind almost, or we get this surge capacity. But that lasts about 6 months. And so I could imagine a lot of folks, and this is what we're seeing, are feeling really exhausted. And the important thing is to start making sure to proactively manage that stress with rest. And I don't mean like big vacations or changes. You know, we all can't do that. It's more about small micro doses of stress, replenishment and rest throughout the entire day. So 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there to make sure your nervous system isn't activated for a prolonged period of time. Burnout happens when we have prolonged stress that is not successfully managed. So being able to be proactive and giving your body, especially your nervous system, chances to rest and recover is going to be essential to keep working in an environment where there is a lot of anxiety and ambiguity and complexity and all the other things that come along with working in a pandemic.
And just see that I left one group out of that list on person with a special asterisk, healthcare workers. Not only have they been in person all along, they've been really in the thick of things. For a lot of them, it's coming back now. How do we even start to make sure they're not burned out?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Healthcare workers. I mean, talk about the setup for compassion fatigue, where you know, there's a saying I really like. It's like, you can't walk through water so long without getting wet. And when you are in it, in the trenches, day to day out, that can really wreak havoc on someone's vitality and well-being. And so I think it's very, very important for leaders in healthcare settings to really think about fostering conditions to protect healthcare workers from burnout. And, you know, I recommend really three big pillars. I call them the ABCs of resilient organizations, but basically fostering agency or autonomy, giving people workload and resources and time constraints that are realistic and feasible and allowing them to have moments of replenishment. I think the other one is B, is benevolence, is just commit to equitable practices, act with integrity, and recognize what your people are doing. And then the third one is community. We are so resilient as human species for so long because we existed in tribes. And so it's so important to bolster inclusion and belonging, foster conditions for psychological safety, where the healthcare worker can raise their hand and say, hey, I'm worried here. I feel like I'm going into the red in terms of my well-being. What can I do and how can you help me? If their psychological safety isn't there, it's not going to happen. And just caring for your employees as people. We are human beings. We are not machines. And as Michael Gungor, one of my favorite quotes is, burnout happens when you try to avoid being human for too long.
Talking to Jacinta Jimenez, author of the book, The Burnout Fix. She's a psychologist. We're talking about workplace burnout during the pandemic and what happens after. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How did your job change during the pandemic? Did burnout get worse? Did you work from home and found it was a little easier? Are there things you hope change forever as we go back to something like normal? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jacinta, we talk a lot about getting back to normal. I think you're hoping that we get back to something better than normal at workplaces. What kind of things do you think we need to change structurally at the workplace to avoid burnout?
Absolutely. I think there is a silver lining to this pandemic, and that is that a global talent trend study has found that one out of every two employees want to see a greater focus on well-being at their company. People want a greater focus on mental health and well-being. Finally, leaders are realizing that it's not just about hard work or smart work, like productivity hacks. Those are important, but there's a missing piece to the puzzle, and that is about pro-resilience practices and mindsets and skills and behaviors. And so I think people are, I'm hopeful that organizations are realizing that we need to also take care of our people, as humans, because if we continue to ask people to sacrifice their well-being and their health for the sake of productivity, no one wins in the end. We have reduced performance, there's problems with innovation, there's problems with creativity, all of these things diminish. Where on the flip side, if we invest in people's health and well-being and vitality, we actually produce greater work, we're more empathic, we're more patient, we show up to our communities, our families, our customers better, and everyone benefits. And I think one of the big ways is for organizations to set up practices for psychological safety so people can voice when they are having problems and catch it before it's too late, before they're in what I call the red. The more you can monitor for burnout, the sooner you can catch symptoms and course correct while you still have the psychological reserves to do so. But we have to set up organizations to acknowledge that mental health is tied to performance. It is tied to really great business outcomes, and people just will appreciate it and deserve to have that as part of their work.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Madison. John, hello.
Hi. I'd like to see the option for working from home be a lot more concrete in policy. I'd like to see that option a lot more available for a bunch of other people rather than, you know, it's been a lot more helpful for me to do that. And if people are going to be those people that have to work from home, I'd like to see companies reimburse their employees for their internet, because if they're going to be using your home internet, you should be reimbursed a bit for that. Not for the entire bill, but for some of it, for sure. Gotcha.
John, thanks a lot for bringing that up. Jacinta, do you think that we've proven that we can do a lot of things from home that maybe businesses didn't think we could?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a tremendous amount of benefit for workers who feel more productive at home, that just not having the commute, being able to feel like they can work in an environment that is more conducive to taking breaks or investing in self-care. Absolutely. I think if there's anything I've learned from, you know, thousands upon thousands of hours of working with individuals with all sorts of industries and walks of life, is that a personalized approach to figuring out what benefits people and returning to work and building resilience is absolutely essential for really setting up conditions where people thrive. So I'm a big fan of the hybrid work environment, or where people get the flexibility to choose what's going to work best for them, and setting up conditions to support them in those decisions.
Thanks a lot for that call, John. We're talking to Jacinta Jimenez, psychologist, executive coach, and expert on burnout, author of the book, The Burnout Fix. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about preventing burnout, maybe reinventing workplaces to prevent it from happening in the first place. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Have you been burnt out at work at some point in your life? Is that point right now? Are there things that have changed during the pandemic that you think maybe should stick around post-pandemic at work? What changes would help you? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk about workplace burnout with Jacinta Jimenez, author of the book, The Burnout Fix, Overcome Overwhelm, Beat Busy, and Sustain Success in the New World of Work. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you feel more or less burned out at work over the course of the pandemic? How did working from home, if you did that, change for you? Are you in one of the fields where we hear that a lot of people had a tough time? Healthcare, say, or in the airline industry, or restaurants? What did you see? Did it increase your stress level? Did it drive you out of whatever your line of work was? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jacinta, I want to talk about boundaries a little bit, where work can kind of infect our home lives, whether we're doing work on our own time or thinking about work. A big deal, especially if your workplace is your home. How do we start to set up those boundaries?
Yes, I get asked this question a lot, and it's a really important thing to think about, especially with the boundary or the line between work and life not being blurry anymore for folks who are working from home, but maybe non-existent. And, you know, one of the big things I talk about is this idea of psychological detachment. So you don't just pack up and leave work from the day, you're actually mentally taking a break from work. And research has found that people who are able to psychologically detach allow their brains to actually replenish and recharge, and they return to work more productive and resilient. So it's really important to figure out ways to be able to successfully psychologically detach. One way to do this is setting up a really set ritual where you're priming your body to go, okay, I'm going through this ritual. This means work is done and completed. There's a reason why athletes have superstitions. It primes them to kind of get set up for that next thing that they're doing. So that can be very, very useful. If you don't have an end set of work, if your work's kind of ongoing and you're not able to set that up, setting up smaller boundaries. So between this time and this time, I will do this, and also I won't do this. So not just what you won't do, but also what you will do during that time. And chunking off those boundaries and really keeping solid at those can make such a huge difference in allowing you to psychologically detach. It's really important. Even though you're not doing anything tied to work, your brain is actually, your default mode network in your brain is turned on, and it's actually making connections and synthesizing, and there's a lot going on, and you need to give your brain that psychological rest and replenishment it deserves.
What would you tell someone who's thinking, you know what, I don't think my workplace is fixable. I don't think that my bosses are willing to help me manage the burnout issues. When is it time to cut your losses and start looking for a new place of work or a new line of work?
Yeah, I know. That's such a great question. What research has found is that there's actually 6-person job mismatches that lead to burnout. So it's when the nature of our work becomes out of alignment with our capacities as humans. And so it's not just work overload. So the first thing I recommend for people to do is look at these 6 mismatches and see if one of these 6 mismatches is causing the burnout. And is there anything you can do about it? If you feel like you try to approach your manager or your boss about these things, and I'll talk about these 6 things really quickly, and you still can't make progress, then that's maybe a sign that, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. And there's only so much you can do to build out your resilience. And I think it's very important, but the nature of your work also plays a big role. We are social beings and our environment plays a role. So the 6 mismatches are: the obvious one is work overload, job demands exceed human limits, too much time with too few resources, but there's also too little control due to micromanagement or chaotic job conditions that can lead to burnout, a lack of reward for the work we do and not being acknowledged, that can be social, intrinsic or emotional reward. Another thing that can lead to burnout is a breakdown in community. We are human beings. We are wired to connect. We've survived for centuries in tribes, and we come into this world literally connected to another person. If we don't have a positive connection with others in the workplace, or it feels like a caustic work environment, that alone can lead to burnout. Another one that is really tragic is a values conflict. So the requirements of your job conflict with your personal principles and values. And that can really take a toll on someone if they're being asked to do work that doesn't align for what they stand for. And last but not least, absence of fairness. So a lack of justice in terms of systems or procedures. And so if we're able to target which of these 6 mismatches is causing your burnout the most and trying to address that with your manager or within your organization, that can go a long way than just saying, oh, I burned out. I worked to the point of exhaustion, so I need to work less. It may not be overwork. It could be a values conflict. And if you're not addressing that specific cause, you may be missing the key thing that you need fixed in order to thrive in your work.
Talking to psychologist Jacinta Jimenez, author of the book, The Burnout Fix, looking at workplace burnout, especially during the pandemic, and what might change in the workplace of the future. It's still time for you to share your burnout story or burnout recovery story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jacinta, earlier you were talking about, you know, the benefits of a company or managers or whatever taking their employees' psychological well-being seriously. But how do you, I don't know, it might be a tough mindset shift from the important thing is our sales measures this week or the number of items scanned per minute at the grocery register or whatever that measure is, getting beyond that daily count and looking to this bigger picture. How do you get people to make that mindset shift?
Yeah, I think it is literally going to require pretty substantial mindset shifts to realize that working harder and working smarter doesn't always pan out, because beyond it's what science shows us is beyond a certain threshold, our ability to be productive actually diminishes. And when we have too much stress, our performance decreases and mistakes increase, injuries happen. Then we have absenteeism, diminished turnover, medical and legal costs, all of these things that actually hurt the company's bottom line significantly. And on the flip side, the research shows that, we can make so much gains and do better work and have better outcomes if we invest in our people's mental and physical well-being. It's fundamental to really thrive in our new world of work, which is volatile, complex, uncertain, and ambiguous, which creates a lot of can potentially, if the person's not supported with psychological resources and safety, can create a lot of churn and ultimately result in diminished productivity.
Do you think that we're going to come out of the pandemic with increasing awareness of burnout, of workplace burnout, in all its different guises?
Well, my hope is yes. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I'm like, yes, because before the pandemic, burnout was a growing epidemic in itself. We are entering into this new world of work thanks to technology, which is changing how we operate at an unprecedented pace. But we're hanging on to outdated formulas of what it takes to be and stay successful in work. And we really need to change these mental models and rethink what works at work. And so this is an opportunity. And if there's any time to do it, the time is now. So I'm very optimistic and very hopeful that finally we're going to get to talking about burnout and really thinking about solutions at the organizational level and the individual level to help stave off this growing epidemic.
It's a good place to leave it. Jacinta, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Jacinta Jimenez. She's a psychologist, executive coach, and author of the book, The Burnout Fix: Overcome Overwhelm, Beat Busy, and Sustain Success in the New World of Work. We've been talking about workplace burnout and how it's been affected by the pandemic and how it might change our workplaces in the years to come.